Thanks for listening to this podcast of The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes it possible. Thank you.
I think the tech people have the hardest job at the church, because if everything goes right, if every cue is hit, everybody's on time, everybody's in the right spot, every piece of gear works right, well, that's supposed to be actually a normal day for me. Perfect is normal. If something goes wrong, that's when everybody notices the guy in the back.
Thanks for joining us. If you're new to The Exchange with Ed Stetzer, we're going to discuss truth, thoughts, and theology. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the intersection of the church and technology with Pastor Dennis Choi. He's the pastor of communications and production at North Coast Church in Vista, California. Dennis has a passion for helping churches develop a successful production ministry. He specializes in addressing training and development issues, and he oversees 85 different staff and volunteers and 36 worship services every weekend across their four campuses. Before we get to their practical conversation, let's hear from Jana Magruder about the gospel and children's ministry.
You know, when I think about the gospel and kids' ministry, I think about leaders, teachers, and volunteers who love children and want to tell them about Jesus. I mean, we all have this shared vision, and that is why we do what we do. But if we're not careful, we can miss the whole point of even gathering. Because if the gospel is not at the center of your children's ministry, you could be missing the whole point. I see this play out in multiple scenarios. An obvious one is where leaders teach Bible stories and attach the gospel at the end. And what I mean by that is they attach the plan of salvation, John 3:16, the Roman road, the ABCs, however they present it. But it's an attachment. Now, first of all, praise God for that. We want children to hear that God has a plan for them, and that plan is Jesus. But if we're not mindful, the plan of salvation tacked on to the end of a story can be confusing. How do they relate? If I'm a child and I hear the story of Noah's Ark, and then my teacher tells me that Jesus died for my sin, how do those things connect? If I only know about Noah building the ark and gathering the animals, how does it make sense that I, the child, need a rescuer just like all the people who died in the flood? And the dangerous part of this is that as a child, I may be tempted to just check the box to say, yes, I want to go to heaven. I want to live forever, without truly understanding the saving power of grace. Now, another common scenario in kids' ministry is that many teachers fear that if we talk about Jesus in the context of the Old Testament, that we will confuse the children. Here's a familiar example. God created the world. Now, most children can tell you the creation story by heart. God made the animals, God made water and light and people. But can they tell you that Jesus was present at creation? Because if we leave that out, then the children we teach are at risk of believing heretical things, such as God created Jesus and sent him to earth to save me, or that the Trinity does not work in harmony. We could unknowingly be teaching partial truth, and that is very dangerous. The truth is, children are completely able to understand the biblical narrative when they can see the full picture, which is that Jesus has always been the answer, he's always been the rescuer, and he's always been the plan. Something else to consider when we think about the gospel and kids' ministry is that we as teachers can risk making the Bible a story about us instead of a story about God. This seems to happen when we tell a Bible story and attach a moral or a virtue or a behavior to it, asking kids, what are we supposed to do now? For example, Daniel and his friends obeyed God by not eating the king's food. How tempted are we to say, so we should obey God too and eat our vegetables? Or Joseph should have been kind to his brothers, so we should be kind too. The story is not about what we are supposed to do or not do. Kids don't need to leave with a list of behaviors to modify. The Bible is a story about God and his plan to redeem us. That's the gospel, and that is what will transform hearts and ultimately change behavior based on a response to him. Don't make it about rules and behaviors they should follow, and be careful not to unknowingly teach heretical or partial truths by not including Jesus in the Old Testament. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Trust God to give children the faith to understand. After all, it's childlike faith that God seeks. Let him use you to tell the story, but give it up to him to transform little hearts for the gospel.
In Matthew 20:28, Christ talks about his mission to serve, not to be served. At Lifeway, we strive for a similar posture of serving churches. That's how 20:28 was born, as Lifeway's answer to serving churches with digital resources and solutions. It's not hard to imagine an overwhelmed church staff member trying to keep up with tech. We've either been that person or we know them. With 20:28, churches gain a partner in creating their digital presence, from church websites to mobile apps to church management software to online giving. Frankly, being digitally savvy is no longer a luxury, it's a must. We've got to reach people where they are, and that's increasingly in the digital mission field. Unfortunately, too many digital resource providers for churches are expensive, not affordable for low-budget churches or new church plants. To make critical digital services more affordable, 20:28 offers better prices for bundling. For example, when you use 20:28 eGiving, it deducts from your other monthly fees. In other words, the goal is that you would pay nothing for your digital services, whether that be your website, CHMS, mobile app, or all of it. It could all be free. That's how invested 20:28 is in making sure churches are equipped for the digital mission field. To learn more and sign up for a free full demo, visit their website at 20:28.co.
Dennis, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Absolutely.
Good, good. All right, so you work in production. You're a pastor of, well, communications, but and production. What's a pastor of production even do?
Right. It's a great question, Ed. Actually, to be totally honest, I was a youth pastor. I've been at North Coast for 20 years in 95 and started as a youth pastor, and we sort of kept the title as my role changed at the church. But I do feel like, really, I mean, that's the real story, but I really feel like I'm pastoring my team. I've got several teams I oversee, and they're sort of my sheep, my flock, and they affect the rest of the church and what happens with it and the production that happens.
So. Right, so the church has, it's a small struggling church. How many people show up on a weekend?
We're at about 11,000 now.
It's a small church, not doing well. And actually, Larry's been on the show, and we had a good interview. Actually, one of the few interviews that changed my mind on something. Another story for another day, but he was right and I was wrong. Mm. And I like that about Larry because he didn't lord that over me, but it's still true. All right, so what do you say, you know, we're recording this at a conference called the WFX Conference where all these video equipment, you're a speaker, I'm a speaker, it's all about technology and stage lights and spotlights and sound systems. How do you justify creating a system that elevates a stage when we're supposed to all kind of be a simple Jesus people on mission together?
It's a great question. People ask me all the time, you know, how do you, all $1 million worth of equipment you could buy. And I mean, I love toys.
That's well, that helps. That's right. The difference between men and boys is the price of the toys.
I do love them. But really, I mean, really what I see, what we do is we're just trying to make Jesus louder, okay. Jesus seen better, more easily by the people that come to our church. And so these are just tools to do that. Do we have to use them? No. But I think they're effective, and if they're used the right way, can actually enhance that. And so he's seen clearer, easier, heard better on a weekend, and just try to eliminate distractions, and so people can just really focus on
okay.
it on a weekend.
But I'm going to push you on that. And we talked about this beforehand, so this is not – people watching might be uncomfortable, but they don't need to be. Because, all right, just you want Jesus to be seen better. I mean, but really, if you got a Bible, if you got a podium, you got a preacher preaching the word, and then they can see the lyrics, but you got more than that. I mean, it's not just that. Yeah. Now, your church is pretty, is not on the high end of the technological fancy. Right. You know, you don't have the smoke machine, you don't have the stuff of that. So you do have the smoke machine. Okay, good.
One of our venues.
Okay,
yes.
One of the venues has a smoke machine. Okay. So when you look at some things churches do, I mean, laser light shows, it makes a U2 concert seem tame. Is there a point that it becomes too much? Is that okay at all occasions? How do you balance that?
Right. There is a fine line. I would agree that I think there are places and people that take it over the top. Mm-hmm. And I think
should we name names? We probably should.
Sure, let's go down the list.
Let's go down the list because I got some ideas too.
Yeah, they're all my friends. So.
Exactly. But and what I don't put you on that list. That's whether I mean there are some places I say are too far.
Right.
But talk to me more about
sure,
that.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's important that there is a line, and sometimes we just lose focus on where the toys become the drive instead of the message. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've heard that before, but for me, I think there is there is a way to create a mood and an atmosphere. People are driven by feelings, mm-hmm. right, and how you feel about something. And you can create that mood with sound, with lights, mm-hmm. with visual aids that will, in a sense, I hope, draw you closer to what you're trying to do. So you've seen in the concerts where they drive you closer to the band and what they're doing, okay. but I think you can take that same that same system and equipment and do that for the church and really benefit that. So I think it's an atmosphere that you can create using tools that are out there that will enhance the service.
Atmosphere you create using tools that are out there that enhance the service. Okay, so... And how do we? I was at a conference in Australia, and Darlene Check and I were the co-keynoters, and one of the things she said was she said the Holy Spirit's not an atmosphere, but at the same time, an atmosphere helped us to be more in tune. You know, she wrote "Shout to the Lord" and a bunch of other songs.
Sure.
So how do we not be driven by the atmosphere as the goal, but seeing the technology as the tool that gets us to a goal of true worship?
Yeah. I think, it's the focus on the bottom line is the message. You want people to see and hear Jesus this weekend. That's the goal. And I think I've seen churches and I know people that they want to bring the gimmick in to make it look cool. But why are you making it look cool? Does it matter? Are you making Jesus look cool or are you making what you want to do look cool? Yeah. And so there's the line that sort of you fall under. You're trying to do something really cool just because you have the tool to do it. Yeah. Well, we have some systems at our church, but we limit what we do with them rather than try to use everything that it has every weekend, because it's not about what we have. It's what we're trying to create.
Interesting. Okay. So I'll tweet on Sunday morning. I tweet this thing called Sunday Reminder. Hmm. And I tweet sometimes that if the band's off key, the equipment doesn't work, and a baby cries, and Jesus is still glorified, that's a win.
Yeah.
So what's a good service? What goes well? And how do you kind of balance that? Because, technology goes bad.
Yeah.
Distractions are real and evident. How do you do that?
Right. Yeah, I think, let me answer. The first part is that I think the tech people have the hardest job at the church.
Yeah.
I think because if everything goes right, if every cue is hit, everybody's on time, everybody's in the right spot, mm-hmm. Every piece of gear works right, well, that's supposed to be actually a normal day for me. That's perfect is normal. But if something goes wrong, that's when everybody notices the guy in the back. Hmm. And so it's a stressful job.
Yeah.
It's a tough job. And so a lot of us, we're trying to fight this. We're just trying to be consistent. You're trying to create a service that's consistent so it's distraction-free. That's my number one goal, is to eliminate distractions. Mm-hmm. So I don't want that clicking sound going on in the back because it's going to deter, or that baby crying in the corner. So so if I can use technology to help create that, limit the distractions, then that's a win for us. Because bottom line, it's the person hearing the message and walking out the door thinking about what happened instead of that light didn't work right, or did you see the graphic that didn't go up right, all those distractions that we can create. So there's a fine line, because you're using technology and it enhances that, and it can create more problems, but also can let people see clearly or hear better what's going on and the message that's supposed to be there.
Prince Warrior Series is an epic adventure designed for children in those tween years, maybe about 9 to 12, 13 years old, who really want to read a story that will cause them to be intrigued, that has mystery and adventure, that has an epic tone to it, that will draw them into the storyline itself and the character itself. So it's just a good read. But the Prince Warrior Series is about a group of characters that find themselves not only on Earth, but transported at times to Aortos, which is the unseen realm. And it's there that they come to know about a very real enemy who may be invisible, but is not fictional. And all that he does in Aortos manifests itself on Earth. They discover that, but they also discover that they have weapons that have been given to them, weapons that work, armor that works, so that they don't have to fall prey to the enemy. So I wrote it for my own sons, but I'm privileged because now I have the opportunity to share it, particularly with little boys everywhere, that I'm hoping will lean into this warrior mentality that they've been given in Christ, but also young women everywhere that need to know that there is beauty in femininity, that there is beauty in being a girl, but you can be a girl with a sword. You can have a fierce edge that stands firm against the schemes of the devil, and there is no better time to learn about that and to appreciate it than when you're young. You might as well already know that you have been given gifts, armor, weapons by God that allows you to have victory in every area of your life.
The Prince Warriors, by New York Times bestselling author Priscilla Shire, along with Gina Detweiler. From BH Publishing, find out more at theprincewarriors.com.
Spending time in God's Word has the power to transform lives. As a church leader, you want to be able to provide trustworthy devotional content to your church family to keep them in God's Word, no matter where they are during their week. Introducing DevoHub. DevoHub is a simple, powerful tool that lets you provide unlimited devotionals to your church, guests, and community. By offering DevoHub, anyone who enters your church campus within a custom radius can access daily devotions through their mobile device. Here's how it works. Access is easy. Just sign up online at devohub.com, set up your church campus location, choose your subscription plan, and then you're ready to share the gift of devotionals with your church members and visitors. Your members can download the DevoHub app anywhere, and when they come into your church, they're ready to activate. When they've activated just once, they'll have access to daily devotional content from multiple sources. Then, each day as they read their devotionals, they'll be reminded of the gift your church has provided. No matter where your church members go, whether to their small group, the grocery store, or around the globe, thanks to DevoHub, great devotionals are at the touch of their fingertips. With new content daily and devotionals catered to every individual's needs, DevoHub gives you the ability to provide daily devotionals for your church in a brand new way. Continue the outreach to your church members and guests anytime, anyplace. DevoHub. Sign up today at devohub.com.
Welcome back to The Exchange with Ed Stetzer. Our featured guest today is pastor and leader Dennis Choi. We have more of their discussion in just a minute as we wrap up our three-part series from Pastor Steve Gladen about leading effective small groups.
When you are wondering how big my group can get, your first question should not be the size of your group, but what it should be is everybody talking. Because when everybody talks, sharing happens. And when sharing happens, you start to get glimpses into their soul. You're going to learn through the questions they ask, you're going to learn about studies you should do. When they're sharing about some tougher times, you're going to learn about how you can support them. When the sharing happens on things they love to do, you're going to know about other activities that you can do in your informal time of your group meeting outside the weekly time when you're meeting for activities you can do. You're going to learn so much that can take your group so deep. So understand that you want to look and make sure everybody talks. But you also want to look at subgrouping so that you can help raise the leaders that your church is going to need.
All right, so Dennis, my experience has been that that sometimes the tech person's your friend. Can we say tech guy? I know there's men and women, but sure. The tech guy. Sometimes tech guy's your friend. I remember I was in Brazil one time, and I would just, you know, this is the PowerPoint. Pressing the PowerPoint button is all we got to do. The guy's back there talking to his girlfriend, and I'm speaking another language through a translator. And finally I said, I'm sorry, sir. Could you stop talking to your girlfriend and press the buttons?
Right.
I mean, it was really nice. What do you do? It seems that sometimes the person running the PowerPoint is the person maybe who's not able to keep up or whatever. And then sometimes it's amazing. We only notice when bad things are going on.
Right.
And yet the people at our church, volunteers at our church, some of the most amazing people ever. So what do we need to understand about the tech guy and the tech team? Now, most people who are listening, it's a small team. I mean, you have a whole big team with staff and everything else. But the principles are still true. What do we need to know about the tech guys?
Yeah, I think there's some myths that people have about tech guys. One of them is that we like to say no.
But that's been a lot of our experience.
Absolutely. And I think some of that's a communication issue of how a person likes to say no. But I think what it is that we're trying to help you the best way we can. Maybe we're presented with a last-minute request or something like that, and the way we're wired is that we've got to go through every single reason why it wouldn't work before we can say it will work.
Right.
And that's just our brain and process. right? You've seen IT guys, the same thing. They've got to look through the whole situation through a security lens before they can say, yeah, you can have the access
good
to
point,
it. Right?
Good point.
And so I think the production guy is very similar to that in that they want to say no, but their first answer is usually, we can't. We don't have the ability. We don't have the resources. We don't have the tools. We don't have the right things. And then they go, oh, yeah, we can.
Okay.
We have one of those.
So my jerk to say, I was in a meeting in Florida yesterday, and they said, well, we can't do that. I said, well, I think you can. Let's figure out a way to do it. And because I needed to run something for my laptop, needed a VGA cord on the stage, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And they ran out, left, and got and came back, and in 20 minutes did it. But they didn't, I mean, am I a jerk to say I really need you to do this?
No, I don't think you're.
I didn't say it as a jerk. I didn't say it in a jerky way. I could have been a jerk, but I wasn't.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably a tech person that's been burned too many times.
Okay.
Maybe they're stressed out, and so they don't respond well.
Yeah.
And it's probably happened over a lot of last minute things, and somebody's saying, just do it, just do it. And they need, I'm an introvert.
Right.
I process internally.
Yeah.
And I need the time.
Okay.
So a last-minute request is usually like, I don't know what to do with that right now.
For the record, I sent the form ahead of time, and they lost it.
Excellent. I love that.
So you get there, and you still have these awkward conversations.
Right.
Or the microphone is not, you know, the kind of microphone, you can use a handhold. Let me just say to all tech guys in the world, only Pentecostals use handhelds. The rest of us want over the ears with the clip in the back.
Yes, gotcha.
All right, so how do we strengthen the relationship between church leaders, and tech people are church leaders as well. You know, the people are speaking and singing. How do we strengthen those relationships?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a two-way street.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's the senior pastor's fault, and I'm not saying it's all the tech person's fault. So part of what I try to do is I try to teach and train tech leaders, church tech leaders, on the relationship and their side, what they have to own up to, that you are the no guy. Mm-hmm. You're the dream killer.
Right,
You're looked at as the dream killer, and you need to change that. You need to have your yeses. You have to be your, hey, Let me think through that, and I think we can get that done instead of a lead with a no.
Right.
But that's over and over again a training and understanding that. So I think from the senior pastor's side, I think it would be great for them to understand that, again, everyone has limitations. Even equipment has limitations. And you're dealing with a guy who thinks through the lens of limitations.
Right. That's
first.
Helpful. Yeah.
Right. And that if you can understand that first and say, hey, is this even possible?
Because I can assure you, pastors do not deal through the lens of limitations.
Right.
Like, we're going to do it all. Oh, you
do
it now.
Yeah.
But I do say, you know, when I go, you know, my church in Nashville is a, you know, I mean, we have a couple campuses and, you know, we sort of all know each other, smaller thing. But when I go to a larger church, like Christ Fellowship, I preach at in Miami each month, you know, it's over 10,000 people. I mean, I walk in and they tell me what to do, where to go. Here's my mark. Here's where to stay in this spot. And I do all of that.
Yes.
Is that unusual that people sort of just, I mean, do some pastors like do their own thing, or pretty much do we all follow the instructions of the tech people because I think they know better than I do? Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably a great situation where they've understood the roles of what's going on.
Okay.
That the tech person, the production team is really there to help you, to put you in the right place, to put you in the right light, to get you looking the best angle.
And there's no best angle here, I assure you, but okay.
We can surround you with cameras.
Exactly.
If that's what you need.
What
right?
I told them to do is to stretch me so I'm 12 feet tall and thin.
Perfect. We can do that. And that's the ability to do that.
It is
right?
the ability to do that, though it looks a little silly.
Yeah. And so I think there's just that misunderstanding that the tech guy is saying, no, you can't do it, where they're really going, no, how do I do this the best way I can?
Yeah.
I it's out of my control right now. And how do I get it under control? And then I can do it.
Good.
And sometimes it takes a person to say, hey, I think you can get it done. Do it.
So why does it take you so long to fix things sometimes? Because a light goes out or the sound goes out. We're like, hello.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean,
because
and immediately, I mean, I'm very careful about saying anything about the tech team.
Sure.
You know, and so if anything, I try to affirm. I think the last time we were both at this conference together, the lights failed on I was making an important point. And I said, okay, the tech guys didn't like that point.
Yes.
And then the tech lights came back on, and I said, they like it now, and I affirmed, thank you for their hard work. Because, I mean, but sometimes it just gets stuck. What should we say when we're up front and it goes bad and we don't know anything's been fixed?
Yeah, I think it's mistakes happen.
Yeah.
People are human. Yeah. Equipment doesn't work sometimes. And
the devil and his demons inhabit the equipment sometimes.
And I think it's important. The tech people have feelings too. And I think when they feel like they're getting called out
And that's the only time they're ever mentioned.
Only time they're mentioned. They ever get to think. I don't get an email on Monday how great the service was on, right? It's that nothing went wrong. Yeah. I think it's important that they're not feeling like they're called out, but that they understand that there's a problem. So I think my senior pastor's great at saying right up front that, hey, we're having some issues, and I'm sure the guys are working on it, and they're going to fix it as fast as they can.
Yeah.
And really, that's what we're trying to do. Now, we have to go through a process and what's wrong and where is it just the unmute button or is there a PAC failure? We might have to run something up. And the better churches, better teams have built in some of that backup plan. So they react faster than others. Right.
So here's what happened Sunday at our church. So I was preaching and the PAC went bad. The over-the-ear PAC went bad. And so someone, because our team's ready, so they brought me a handheld. I hate preaching with a handheld. Mm-hmm. Only Pentecostals preach with a handheld. Remember that. And so I said, no, I don't want to use a handheld. Is there anyone to fix it? And, you know, we're in front of everybody, but we're friends. And so, and they said, no, just got to use a handheld. So I took the boom mic, and I put the boom, because I said, I'm not going to hold this microphone. Everyone's laughing. Mm-hmm. And I put it, but my mic doesn't fit the boom mic. Mm-hmm. So then, because I'm a mature follower of Jesus and a pastor and example, I threw the boom mic on the side. I said, fine, I'll do the handheld. But then, I mean, we were all family figuring it out together.
Right.
So rather than the awkward dead space of 3 or 4 minutes, we had a little fun with the whole thing.
Sure.
And then afterwards I picked up the mic stand and, you know, and so how do you do that in a way that keeps it lighthearted but has good relational intentionality?
Because
oftentimes, particularly in bigger churches, I mean, I'm guessing the pastors don't know the people who are running the booths or things of that sort.
Absolutely, yeah. So in your particular instance, I would, if I were you, Ed, and I were on stage.
But we're hundreds at this church, not thousands like in Florida.
Sure. So I think it would be understanding, do they know that I only like to use a lapel mic?
Yeah.
Did they know that?
Yes. Yeah, they did, but we didn't have an option.
Right.
We don't have, multiple lapels.
Yes,
it's not that big of a church.
So understanding whether they did or not is important.
So better communication, good.
Yeah, and getting that under, and then I love that you had the fun dialogue, because I think the audience, that the people watching, they just want to know, are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Or is there there's tension?
Tension? Yeah, I actually said, all right, let's applaud the tech guys. We had a little fun with
that. And you gave a little, and that to me is great. That's a guy that gets it
and
says.
So they want to know if there's tension, because I hadn't thought about that, but that's immediately what people think, is the pastor ticked. Usually the pastor being ticked at the soundboard is probably what they're thinking.
Yes.
That's interesting. Right. So you diffuse that tension.
You diffuse that tension. And so the guy teaching has all the control, obviously. Right. And he can spin that.
Well, not true, because you can turn off the sound and the lights.
Yes, you can have nothing, which is our point of why we need these tools to enhance what you do, right? So there is that power. But it's really a relationship. And what I love about my senior pastors is that we have that banter, and everybody realizes, okay, they're okay with each other. And we're trying to fix the problem, and we're both on the same page. So,
special thanks to WFX, the Worship Facilities and Conference Expo, for providing today's studio. You can learn more about their helpful conference at WFXweb.com. Last thing, for any resources mentioned in the show, you can find them at edstetzer.com. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll be back with us next week.
Thanks for joining Ed Stetzer and his team for this week's radio edition of The Exchange. Hear this and other past broadcasts of The Exchange. Read up on the latest trends from Lifeway Research and insights and articles from Ed and his team by visiting edstetzer.com. The Exchange is presented by Lifeway Christian Resources in cooperation with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media. Thanks for listening to The Exchange Radio Podcast. Programming like this is made available through your support. Find out more at myfaithradio.com.